from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who just clapped almost silently. I don't think you heard it because I'm clapping because you're here. And like, I'm clapping for two reasons. You're here. I'm getting to greet you and welcome you in. And then I'm going to go off topic and get mixed up. But really, I slapped my hands together as gently as I could, but it still made a sound. So that's not like when you do something just for symbolism. I was doing it really out of excitement. And then I said, slow it down. Don't like, if you've lost track of what I'm talking about or you're confused already, that means you're in the right place because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking... If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need to eat my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now. And the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors, and right now I'm looking for listeners who supported sponsors. It's kind of critical to keep the show free. Coming out twice a week is those listeners who not only supported the sponsors, but let them know about it. Let other people know about it on social media, sending the sponsor an email, sending them, give them a call. So if you supported Helix, if you got all four sofa, an Apollo band, a Relief band, please let them know about it and let me know about it so I can say thank you and try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone and send you some stickers and stuff. Fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. This is how we're here for you and so many other people because of your actions. So let me say thank you when you support a sponsor. Fill out that form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. That's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part is you getting the support you need. There's links to resources in the show notes, including international resources you can connect with right now. It's about supporting the members of our community with our actions, saying Black Lives Matter, saying Stop AAPI Hate, being a part of positive change. There's links to resources where you can learn more, you can take action right in our show notes. And I'm looking to hear about organizations that have impacted you, whether you're involved with them, whether you supported them, or they supported you. So please let me know about it. You can use the contact form on our website, and that's it. What do you say we, Mystery Bard, ask Mystery Bard. A lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form. Patreon, support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, and I like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts you're thinking about on your mind, feelings, so thoughts about the past, the present, the future, feelings, anything you're feeling physically or emotionally that's coming up for you. So feelings, physical sensations, changes in your time, your temperature, changes in latitudes or changes in attitudes or changes in dreams. Like, holy cow, that's what I'm dealing with right now. Some strange dreams. I had Carrie Hughes in my dream, and it wasn't a bad dream, wasn't a good dream either. It was one of those dreams I said, oh boy, like, that was strange. Not appropriate for a sleep pod. Oh, sorry. I'm introducing a sleep podcast. I haven't even got to the beginning of the intro yet. So whatever is keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off that. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to try to create a safe place. I'm going to smooth it. I'm going to pat it. I'm going to rub it down. I'm going to say safe place. I'm going to use my hands in a welcoming manner. Hopefully you could feel that, because I'm glad you're here. Then I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I guess I say that, but ideally, the sending is more of an emotional thing. I don't know if you get that. I'm sending my voice across the deep, dark night. My voice was, before I started sending it, it was being sent. But like, it was a precursor. Like, you know what a train, it would be like if the train engine was in the middle of the train. Say, why don't you do, they never asked me for any advice, but I've seen engines, or those locomotives, they call them. I've seen them at the front of trains, and then some places I've seen them at the end of the train. Here's an idea, a free idea. Go ahead and use it. Maybe science, as usual, will prove me wrong. Or usually we don't get to science because they say, suits, you don't need to look that up. Common sense would say, and I'd say, okay, well, it makes common sense to me. I didn't think of it, but you say, what about putting that locomotive right in the middle? That's kind of like when I send, they say, well, can you use an example, Scoots, of when that had worked? Well, when I send my voice across the deep, dark night. But you're speaking somewhat figuratively. Ooh, really? Oh, yeah, I guess you're kind of right. Kind of right, kind of wrong, Well, with the train, Scoots, we can't. Oh, okay, makes sense. Yeah, I ride in a train. I get you. Oh, tonight's episode will probably be about trains. So that's handy. Okay, where was I? Just send my voice across the deep dark night. I'm using lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. That means I'm going to get mixed up. I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to repeat myself. I'm going to seem like I'm not making any sense. That's 100% craft, you know. It's not my real personality shining through. It is. It's a little bit of craft, a little bit of magic, and a little bit of me. But seriously, some part of my brain's like, wait a second. Like, if you can put the train at the front or the end, how come you can't put it in the middle? I mean, I understand. You say, well, this train's better at pulling, and this train's better at pushing, Scoots. I say, okay. So then you just put those two in the middle, and you put the trains on either side. Boom. You got yourself a super train. You got a situation there. You may have a super train. I've heard other trains called super trains before, but does it have one locomotive pushing and one pulling? Yep. See, you had to think about it. Even the engineers of the world, the engineers. Oh, I don't know my Imagineer from my engineer. Only the engineers in my mind paused and wondered about that. And that was how I knew I'd never be an engineer. Stick to looking at trains. So, okay, so if you're new, you probably already got the sense this podcast is very different. It is somewhat of an acquired taste, but not in an exclusive way. Like, it's like a free sample you're listening to now. It usually takes a couple free samples to figure out, huh, this podcast is different, tastes different. The texture's different. It's a bit strange. So give it a few tries. That's what hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have said. Didn't like this podcast the first time I listened. Now I listen every night. Really, I'm not even kidding. You could look through our reviews. That's like every fourth review says something like, it wasn't for me. But then I gave a few tries. I realized, this is a podcast you don't really listen to or pay attention to. So that's one thing to know. The other thing, and the most important thing to know, is that I'm glad you're here, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep, because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a bedtime where you can feel like a little bit of relief and rest and not rigmarole, where it's something you at least feel neutral about and you don't dread, because I've been there. And like, if I can help you with that by being goofy and taking your mind off stuff, it'd be my honor. But if you get the rest you need through this podcast or any other podcast, you can see other podcasts at sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. If you can find something that works for you and you get better, you get some rest, your life's going to be a little bit better, a little bit more manageable. And that's the most beautiful thing I could ever do, other than being a parent and a family member and a friend and a member of the community, I mean, which is all interrelated to that stuff anyway. So you can do that stuff too. That's really would be touching and honor. Like, I'd be honored to make your bedtime less dreadful. And the other side of that is I know how it is. Like I said, last night I had a case of the ewes from Carrie Hughes. They say that's not how you say it. And I say, okay, the actor from that movie with the Princess Bride movie, among other great appearances, including recently on like on other shows even. But it wasn't, like I said, it was just like, I said, wait a second. I guess we're kind of friends. It was weird. We were at a conference together, and it's just like, not important. What's important is you getting the sleep you need, because I know how it feels in the deep, dark night, tossing, turning, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. That was last night. I woke up from that dream and a couple other ones, and it was not, you know, one of those things. It was too close to my alarm for me to fall back asleep, and too early for me to be comfortable getting up. So if I can help, that would be my pleasure. The other things to know is that this podcast doesn't really put you to sleep. It's here to keep you company while you drift off. And if you can't sleep, I'm here to keep you company too. Or if it's during the day and you need a break, I'm here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff. So that is really what my job is, right? So that's what I'm here to try to do, and not so much put you to sleep. Now, if you fall asleep, that's great, because I've taken your mind off stuff. Maybe you've gotten confused. Maybe you realized this voice is kind of comforting even when I don't pay attention. Or maybe you're just like, you were keeping me company, and then I just fell asleep because I was listening loosely. So it's also a podcast you don't really totally listen to. It kind of makes sense. You can listen, but the listening's optional. So those are other important things. The other things that can throw new people off and that regular listeners love hearing about is the structure of the show. In the podcast, with podcast apps in particular, you can really adapt to how you listen to the podcast once you become a regular listener. But the show is structured in a very specific way to meet the goals of the show. So one of the goals of the show is for you to feel welcome. Now, not everybody's going to feel welcome, but I hope you do. That's what we start off with. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, like, you kind of come on in. I hope you feel seen and you say, okay, I could feel welcome here. Then there's support. Support for the listeners that maybe are having a tough time right now. Support for communities we all are part of and live in. And then support for the show, because one of the goals is it comes out twice a week, which is a pretty good amount of work, regularly every single week, twice a week, and that it's free, or that paying for it is optional. So the support for the show there and later in the show is what enables us to do that. Then after the support part there is the intro. And the intro goes from, what, I don't know, 8 minutes into 20 minutes into the show, or somewhere, you know, it could be earlier or later, it could go longer. And that's where I'm, what I'm doing now. I try to explain what the podcast is. Generally, I'm not super successful, or at least I'm not very, I don't know, am I not cogent? I'm not efficient at it. But that means you get a different intro every time you listen to the show. So you say, oh, okay, I have something new to listen to every night. Some new tangent Scoots could be going on, dreaming of yous. So at least my brain doesn't say, oh no, this is just another set of birds singing in the wilderness or whatever. Now that does work for some people, just doesn't work for me. So there's that. Then there's, what else we got going? Oh, the intro. Oh, then after the intro is more sponsor support, sponsors and stuff. That's again, show, our goals are show to be free. Oh, also, most people fall asleep after the intro and after the sponsor stuff during the story, because the other purpose of the intro and why people say, why does the intro go on and on and on? It's to help ease you into bedtime or be there as you're getting ready for bed and just be a separation between the daytime and the nighttime, like a kind of like a long, slow landing strip or something like that. So that's why the intro goes on and on and on, and why it's fine. Like, listeners do fall asleep during the beginning of the show, or they skip ahead 2 or 3% of people, or they listen to story-only episodes on Patreon, or they make playlists on Patreon for what works for them. But yeah, that's kind of this progression of the show. That support there helps us keep the show free for everybody, which is cool. Then there's our story. Tonight will be another train tour. We're doing these seasonal train tours up in the North Pole. And then there's some thank yous at the end. So that's a structural show. That's why I make the show, to help you, because I've been there. Because I know, I might not be know what you're going through, but I have a general idea of what it feels like, the loneliness and the frustration. So I don't know. I'm really glad I'm here. I work really hard. I yearn and I strive. I really hope you can, I can help you fall asleep. Give it a few tries. Thanks again for coming by. And here's the ways I'm able to do this for you for free twice a week. Thanks. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, hey, welcome to North Pole Train Tours, Yeah, I mean, we've been trying to take all the train tracks, technically not all of them, because some of them are top secret, but to take everything here at the North Pole and use it for more than one purpose, and that includes maybe one day opening up the North Pole to tours. And so today we have another special tour. Thank you for settling into your seat. We do have a welcome, a couple welcome things for you to enjoy. This is a tea card here, and but it's also, you could have some cocoa, you could have some tea, just some water if you want. And later on, you have an option. This is a warm service, but or a cool water service, but we will have Nog later, other options. And, you know, we have some sugar cookies and cookie alternatives, sugar-free cookies, gluten-free cookies, and just some candy canes, however you, yeah, they are delicious. Oh, well, you could try all of them. You don't have, you can have one of each, but you're going to see at the station as we begin to pull out, that is, now we don't normally glorify Santa too much here at the North Pole, or all of us elves. But this is a really special place, and occasionally we need a statue, and this is a particular, this is our, you know, North Pole main station. And I guess because there are, this is one of the trains, not that you're on, but that comes into the station that is one of the ones that is regularly used by non-North Poleans, or North Poles, you know, they say, if you're a resident of the North Pole, what do you call yourself? We call ourselves North Poles. And we know people have a laugh at it, but normally people don't ask anyway. They say, oh, you're an elf. But, you know, when we practice language, because some of us use different language apps, you know, like learning the languages of the world, important part of our jobs, but it's also enjoyable. We say, oh, yes. We're North Poles. I don't know if that's official, though, but that's just, it's in popular usage here at the North Pole, or I guess it would be in popular usage if it was something that came up a lot. All that said, you're seeing a giant statue of Santa Claus holding a hand with an elf in triumph. And Santa is pointing off in the direction of where the sun would normally set. Well, actually, exactly where the sun would set here on the evening of the 25th. Correct, because that's like when Santa says, I'm going to bed for a while. A long winter's nap. And you can kind of see that Santa's shoulders, if you really look closely, are a little bit slumped. But the joy and relaxation on both Santa and the elf's face is very, you know, the kind of reaction you have after a satisfying work season. Now, you're going to be noticing now you can't see these out the windows because there's also a walking path. But we're going through, we're going to take one right turn and then another right turn, then a left turn and a left turn, then a right turn and a right turn, and a left turn and a left turn as we work our way out of this, out of the North Pole. That's also because of existing infrastructure. I find it very relaxing because the train would already have to go slow anyway because we're leaving the station. You know, there's residential area. So we're weaving in between residential areas and some, you know, guest areas, guest facilities. And also we're going, you know, we'll be underneath some buildings that were built on top of this. And then we're going to do a left but instead of two lefts, we're just going to make one left, and we're going to go on a long stretch. Now, if you're walking outside, it would kind of show, you could kind of notice that a lot of our, we do a lot of things where we have a park on top of stuff. And so above the train tracks, a lot of the times we have, if we're not underground or there's not already something above us, we do have these greeneries covering, particularly here, because it reduces sound and, you know, the train does run on electricity, but in the past it did not. And so these greeneries, it's a bit of an arch or a bit of a dome, not a dome, you know, a ceiling, a green ceiling, you know, of course, intertwined with metal, but you can walk up there. And that has a history. It's the North Pole's Memory Lane. And now that is only for North Poleans because there is another memory. And now we're taking a right and working our way through. That's really for North Poleans, though there is a section of it. So the part where we turned left, but we didn't do two lefts, is where that's North Poleans only. If you go back, that was when we came out of the underground again. But if you went back to the where we were making a lot more turns, that is like kind of the more official mythology of the North Pole. And it's not really changed much. And the just as an entertainment, like, and also like it goes along with popular culture. So the official in quotes history of the North Pole is like the world, you know, we try to do take all the world's traditions, but popular myth and some less than popular, you know, myths you may say are less than popular, but you know, what's weaved into the cultures of the world that we serve. And now we're making another right turn. And yeah, again, all the history is going on above us. Another thing where we are working on, because even though these two sections, we do want to do another walk like this, and it might not be above any trains, so it's kind of strange I'd be telling you this, but, you know, like, there's a lot of repurposing going on of train trestles, and we love that kind of stuff. We take inspiration from the world sometimes. But we'd like, you know, once we've established a location, we'd like to do something with some of the timeline of the public timeline. Again, not just pop culture, because there's a lot of time parts of our North Pole timeline that you might be coming, that might be news to you. And it is all part of this place we're going eventually as we make another turn again. We've got two more turns before we enter north. What I guess I should prepare you for is a train tour through North Pole Park. And this was something we had a lot of. This is something that's been a long time coming, but a long time avoiding, which was a theme park in a celebration of in a place for people to come to the North Pole. Now, you do have the option, like with these train tours, to actually experience the real North Pole. And, you know, elves, we're mammals too. Maybe you didn't know that. So we do share a lot of mammalian traits with human beings. And, you know, there's human beings that are part of the North Pole. But, so we all have strong feelings, right? And not all, those feelings are real, but, you know, we also have to, so, you know, there's always been a vision for a long time to have a theme, we don't want to use the word theme park just because that is a loaded term up here. But, I mean, I'm here to give you a tour. I'm not here to pander to the North Poleans. This will not be a train tour geared towards elves, but people could, I guess, could come on it. But so it's basically a theme park because the thing was we just can't have people running around the North Pole because there's work to be done, and also there's stuff that things, and it also is like our job to keep the mystique. That was another very strong concern. One, why do people need to come up here at all? None of their business. Keep it a fantasy, you know, keep it like it, let them project their own thing onto the holiday season. You know, why? And so we took those and we finally are about now, we're not open. And we don't have an opening date, but you're going to get to see some of the things that are under construction, some of the things we're working on here. And I think it's very exciting because, again, it's to celebrate, I don't know. And a part of it is what would, like, in a both, you know, I think it's creative because they say the people, the pro North Pole Park, which say the people want a fancier name. So maybe it'll change. I don't know. But the creative constraint of both retaining the mystique of the North Pole in a way that gives people what they would expect, but also surprises them and delights them with things they don't expect. So that's kind of like those are twofold mission of designing the park. And we're going to make another turn. And of course you say, well, are these parks influenced by, and we say, of course, yeah, we're building on what people may already know or have experience with at different theme parks in you know, down in the southern world. So we're taking a turn here and we're going to come through. And now we're coming through and there's going to be, now we actually control the windows of the train for this part because there are things that you can't see and that are still under construction. Those are just construction walls on the one side. What you're going to notice out here is this great, now this is, again, this is an area of contention, but, you know, a big part of the North Pole is the North Pole region and the geography. So you're going to see a gigantic mountain range. It is not real. It is a man, but it is, isn't that amazing? And it is kind of the popular mythologized kind of mount style of mountain range. Purple, I've heard it called Purple Mountain's Majesty. But it is more of a granite. It has a very Yosemite-type influence and, you know, kind of jutting rocks and a lot of flowing water. You know, we already have the waterfalls, and then you're going to see two different things on the mountain moving in addition to the waterfalls. And actually, our train will be a third thing moving as we'll eventually go around. And then, spoiler, though, we're going to come through a waterfall tunnel. So that's why we're making this turn. And you're going to kind of see. Now, again, from this train, you really can't see very much of the park. The mountain range is in on both sides. And then another thing you're going to notice versus theme parks in your world, for the most part, is that this mountain range is themed on, this is a fully themed range because of the thing that it would have been so intrusive on the residents of the North Pole and the people working there to just have it be like the backside of it and not be themed, I guess, if you were using your kind of terminology down there. But yeah, there's an alpine, there's a lift that goes up to an alpine, like a coaster type ride. And there's also a river ride or a rafting ride that goes through as well. And those, the idea is that those are brightly, so there's actually, I guess if you count the gondola lift up to the alpine ride, and those are actually the cars being lifted. So it saves, the people don't have to get off the lift and then get back on their car. It's all integrated. So it really is only one attraction, though it seems like it's two. Is you're like, those are brightly lit or brightly colored and at night brightly themed to kind of fit the situation. But also because, like, if that's the perpetual motion idea. I don't know, like, I'm not, I'm still writing this tour. Kinetics, I think, is what the people that are designing the park would say. Kinetic motion is important because it's feeling something. You got the water, then you have the boats in the water, you have our train, you have the gondola looking, then you have the alpine cars. And I guess another part of the kinetics is the sounds like of the people having fun. So that's exciting. Now we're going through a tunnel here, and you're going to see some beautiful mural work that's been done. And again, some of these murals, these you can kind of see, some are complete and some are incomplete. And a lot of them are showing kind of glamorizing, you know, you see the wildlife of the North Pole and different real mountain ranges. And it's just meant, you know, we're just going through and we're going to exit in the waterfall here. Is just again to remember that this is a real place you're in, even though this is a fantastical view. You know, the North Pole is real. Your North Pole Park is kind of a fantasy interpretation of it. I don't know. Again, I'm just like giving a tour to you, and yeah, now we're going to go through this waterfall. And we're going to start to head down, and this would be where our train would be most visible. And you could kind of see the gondola is now going over us. We're kind of working our way down, and the Alpine car will go by. And you could even, if you go to the other side of the train and look down, you'll even see part of the river raft ride. Now, none of this is actually, some of it may be being tested. I know that they're all running. But part of that, now we're going to take, as we come here, we're going to take a turn, and we're going to, now this was another big debate of breaking the illusion versus not breaking the illusion. But this is like a break in the illusion, because we said, well, the train goes through the whole park anyway, so, you know, so the illusion would already be broken repeatedly. And we said, what if there was a way to break the illusion without be like, okay, we understand. We're all reasonable people here. You've paid to come into this park. So this again was a very discussed, but we said, well, what if it titillates you for some things later on, which are parades. That's another part of these kind of parks. And so first we're going to go through this giant sculpture here. And again, even though what's interesting about this sculpture is it's a very shimmering sculpture that's meant to play with the sun. It's got glass and metal and flowing water. And this sculpture is just barely visible from some of the actual vehicle, the attractions, and then the light of it is plays like almost like light off the water on some of the mountains. But this is how in depth we said, let's really go for it. So we're going through the sculpture, and you're going to kind of see here, we're first going to go into, we're going to go into two areas, which you'll notice this is an outdoor area. It's covered though. And these are where some of the floats are for the daytime parade. And the first one you're going to notice there really well is Rudolph, of course, jumping forward with Rudolph's nose so bright. And then kind of behind Rudolph, like the fog parting. And there are motion and light aspects to that. And then there would be like on the back is a ice skating thing, which again is what is it? And I say, yeah, this is kind of what people expect with these parades. And actually in like, but the ice skating thing, yeah, that's at the very beginning, the end, but in the middle where the clouds are, that is actually a trampoline for some aerial performers. And then again, like, there'll be other, we will change out the floats we show, but now we're going into the dark because we have a nighttime parade, of course, and you're going to see some floats. There's a transition period where we let your eyes adjust to the darkness. And these, you're going to start to see, these are very powerful holiday lights, LEDs, everything you have going. And those are bear cubs. And they are kind of, you know, light up a bear cub. So they're not exactly biologically accurate. But they are so cute. Oh, are they? And there's going to be other, like, these bear. And then you look at, as we've been in this corner, a giant mama bear. And the bear cubs are going to be automated to run around the mama bear. And at some points, even the mama bear can't do it during this, but the mama bear can stand up on her two legs. And yeah, the bears, you can see they can offer different, they're all different colors, and there's a lot of action that can be, you know, light, the technology we have access to is not that different than the Southern technology. But so that's, you know, of course, it's just something to look forward to, because, and then I'll have the times of the parades as you're taking the train. So you say, oh, I want to go on that. Like, I want to see those parades later. So the next thing we're coming up to, we're kind of cutting around. We went through one area. And this section of the park that we're working on is kind of like known, it's going to be known as Santa's Workshop. That's the section of the park, which all of us elves have a laugh about, because we say, well, this really means where we all work. But it's going to be area, and now it's not complete. It's still under design and construction, but there are some areas here that are complete. And, of course, and, oh, there, so there, you may smell rain. There are reindeer here, and that's a big part of it, real reindeer. Actually, like, this is where a lot of the, now, just to spoil it a little bit, these will be retired reindeer that worked with Santa, just because we don't want to, this is work, you know, we're walking around with southern worlders, and maybe being petted, or, you know, showing, there'll be a show. Now, that arena is not complete, but that's behind that big facade that looks like a kind of glorified, it's not even a facade. It actually is like a three-quarter building. But that opens up, and it, yeah, it does kind of look like evokes a working stables, but gigantic. And then on this other side, these more industrial-style buildings, but again with a kind of a North Pole touch that kind of unifies the two styles. You see, okay, those look like they were designed by, and they were designed by one of our more famous architects, Kanda. But Kanda, anyway, I don't want to get too, because I haven't written out, I don't have all the facts. But so on this side is, of course, the where the sleigh would be. And this attraction is going to be what, of course, people have been looking forward to their whole lives, and especially even with the modern holiday films, you know, Santa's sleigh. And we can just base this on what worked in the past and what worked in the present and what we think will work in the future. So a lot of people would want an interactive experience that is available after the ride, as well as like a lot of stuff explaining the actual physics of the actual ride. And but this ride is actually, what's really impressive is that a lot of it is built on the real technology. So the pre-show and the queue will be, it will be immersive in a sense to immerse you in the story. I can't give you all the details of the story behind the attraction, but I can tell you that what it'll involve is, so the pre-show will be preparing you and talking about some of the technology that they can share, you know, leaving out parts, but, and maybe some things that aren't true to throw off anybody that would say, well, I'm going to make my own sleigh. I say good luck with that. There is magic involved. What was I saying? So building up to that, and then building up to something where you get involved in the story, or you can project yourself into the story, but it won't be interactive. And it will be exciting. And then the ride itself, the ride system, we made it so it's a very thrilling, but available to all. and that it actually has real motion versus a motion simulator. But it actually, like, it has real motion within a motion, like the vehicles can move as well, and a lot of real sets, but then some illusions. And it would be a really, really fun attraction. And then again, people said, well, can it be changed around? We said, no, this is a ride that should be just thrilling enough for almost everyone, you know, with the exception, you know, toddlers and under probably shouldn't ride it. Or people, you know, I don't know. I'm not in that department. But thrilling enough is that everyone's going to want to ride it, that qualifies to ride it over. Like, so the ride itself, in addition to the story and the effects, will be thrilling in a way. So now we're going to, our train is going to curve. I kind of, I get to control the speed of the train so I could over explain things. But so now we're going back, we're making a little bit of a turn, and we're going to see the loading area and the starting areas for the raft ride that we saw earlier. And the raft ride is actually based on, like, what a lot of people might not realize is that we do, and you were on the other tours where we talked about some of the geothermal elements of the North Pole that maybe people don't understand. So, but so this is showing, this will technically be, you're on a raft that's meant to transport in the ride, you're transporting presence, or you've gotten accident. I mean, it's very thinly veiled, but the buildup for this ride will be that, you know, there's some sort of external event and you're getting in these rafts that are normally, they say, well, we're testing it out for human transport. We usually transport presents. In reality, it's, and you can learn the real history is that, you know, that's the way we transported parts, raw materials, and still do in places where we can keep the water from freezing, either due to geothermal or just natural or during that time of year. We say, okay, well, we know these months we could move raw materials or via aqueduct or canals so that, or of course, ideally natural rivers and streams. So this one's very, very something you can expect, but it should have some things you don't expect. Where you of course you go, okay, this part of the, you know, this part's closed kind of thing, and there are also there's, I'm not supposed to talk too much about this, but of course we've created some antagonists for the North Pole. And that'll be part of the story for the park. And those antagonists will be involved in this ride as well. Not all the rides. Now we're turning out into an area, and you're going to kind of see an area, and it looks like a humongous playground. And you're going to see netting and towers and slides. And that is a kind of a playground. It's a training area, an elven training area. And there's different stops and activities. Now, you don't have to overtrain. It is based on a lot of real training that we elves do, depending on our positions and our work tasks, as well as just overall wellness practices. But mostly it's a place for, you know, younger children or older children to run around and climb and slide on stuff. And there's a lot of natural features there, too. Of course, you notice that we've got a lot of trees at this park and a lot of trees that are hopefully going to grow in. And of course, a lot of it is made to be hardy for this area. But again, with some of the geothermal activity, you'd be surprised. And a lot of the things from the garden that you went to, maybe you didn't see. I can't remember what we saw, if we saw any tree farms. But like a lot of that's provided through the gardens that you visited, and some of the decorative aspects of this park will also be. And you can even see that now because we're going through an area. Now, this is actually like a kind of a food hall. We're just seeing the outside of it. but it's based on some of those gardens. That giant mural on the wall there is to indicate, yeah, this is to celebrate some of the parts of the North Pole that, you know, the gardens of the North Pole and the some of those, all the production. And this will be an interesting food hall because there'll be food stalls and places to eat. There'll be performances. There has been some debate about working with the people from the Dickens Fair to do something like that there. But for the time being, it's just going to be you can eat some delicacies that North Poleans enjoy, as well as foods that you may find traditionally at a theme park or, you know, a little bit better tasting and stuff, as well as a lot of dessert areas. And now that's like a time if you would like some nog or another little snacky poo. We have that here. And now we're turning and you're seeing another part of the park here. And this is a part of the park that there's still debate going on. But when it was designed, and I think as it will go forward, is that you while you're walking at the park, not that far out of Santa's North Pole, there's just this large tunnel that has fresh steam. It looks like the tunnel just came opened up. And we're trying to, I mean, the main concern was like that it doesn't feel too intense. So that's, again, like a decision that, you know, is beyond me. But that it'll be an unlabeled thing. But maybe there'll be, the best bet, I think, is that there'll be play actors or performers there encouraging or going through. Maybe even, this was a strongly held debate, hiring child actors to also express common feelings, and then having, we said, the people said, I don't know, is that okay to do that? To say, oh, okay, well, let me show you. Let's go through there together. But once you go through the tunnel, you'll go into a land that is themed around, and I have to be delicate about revealing too much, some of the North Pole antagonists. And this will be, have popular culture in mind, but also, believe it or not, there are antagonists in the North Pole. I mean, and you know, some of them live in the Southern world, and some of them live in the North Pole. But so that's like another balance we're trying to strike. But there isn't a very common thread. You know, recent films have touched on that, but it's just to kind of, we're essentially basing it on the reality for us. And so it's a difficult task for all of us here at the North Pole and the creative teams behind the park. But creating something that is based in real antagonism, but you know, making that like fun and making it into an accessible myth that you could participate in. And so the first ride would be, you could kind of see down. You saw the tunnel with the steam coming out. And it's, again, trying to balance, you know, not saying, well, we're going to have all ages here. We don't want anyone to come to the North Pole. So it may be an idea of like building FOMO to go there. But one of the things is going to be what was traditionally a dark ride. And this dark ride will be like a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, like poking fun at actually North Pole Park. It'll be a dark ride created by the antagonists in the North Pole, where they're like celebrating their way of life and kind of saying how we impact them. So kind of creating in a fun way, saying, oh, they're working together in a heroic way against the North Pole influence, and not in a way that's based in truth, I guess is what I'm saying. Not in a way that, and again, this is a very delicate balance in a way that's very fun from their perspective, but also true without making fun of them, because they're not, because it is a fiction. So it'll have a lot of robotics, and it will have live performers, which we feel like is important. But this one will be an all ages, like, slow moving system so that anyone can ride. And it won't be frightening, except for people that maybe are bringing their own assumptions. It'll be, again, like very carnival celebration of what they would have, because you're, I guess I can tell you this part. It says approved, is to say, like, this is like a, they're like a kind of like a county fair for where the all antagonists are kind of celebrating. And I could even tell you that what they're celebrating is that this year Christmas got canceled, and they're having a fair about that. I can say that. So it'll be really fun. It really will be fun. And it will exit this one, like, I haven't told you any about this, but it will exit in a themed gift shop with even also a food stand, and like, so that they're celebrating, their foods is celebrating, and toys and stuff. So I think, I don't know, I mean, I think it'll be fun. And then another attraction that they're attempting to work on. Oh, no, I guess I'm not allowed to say that. So they are working on multiple attractions, and there'll be like one or two time filler attractions that little kids could go on in maybe a show, so that this would be its own little land. And again, it doesn't have a title, and there is another exit coming up here, and we're going to go through, we're kind of going over it and down. Now, this is, this land is very, very under construction. It really doesn't, we've just started work on it. But this is to celebrate all of the humans in the North Pole area, or in the Great North, or whatever you would call it. Not just within 10 or 20 miles, but within, you know, a very great distance and throughout history. So the first peoples that were here, I mean, with, like, so, like, all the way through, like, people in, like, so some of them were celebrating the first peoples and their cultures and their ways of life. And you can kind of see we have the kind of land, the area sketched out. Like, one of the areas is the coast there. And also practical things that we're learning. So then there's, like, the working peoples of the current, over the last 200 years. And celebrating the working peoples, like the providers, the fisher people, and the scientists, a lot of different things this is an area full of potential, I guess is what I'm saying. And of potential, like, one of the only debates was like, oh, should there be a human-based area? And the people said, well, the humans are the antagonists, and they just put them in the antagonist land. But, you know, we said, well, okay, let's be realistic here. So, again, this is an area that's still kind of modeling and being designed. Because they said, well, why would humans want to visit a human? Like, it was, so, okay, well, there's going to be, I know for a fact there's going to be a seafood, very fancy seafood restaurant overlooking this waterfront. That's the only thing you kind of see. And then there's going to be the waterfront. And then there's also going to be, this is kind of doesn't quite fit, but they said, okay, what's the main attraction? And it's going to be a sledding ride. And now, a little bit different from our alpine coaster style ride, this will be real snow and real ice. So this is a big vision, and they're still testing out the ride vehicles outside of here. So they haven't even built it, but like with real cold, and again, real sets, because they said, okay, we're going to keep combining this idea of story and thrills. So that'll be, I guess, that. And then, of course, there should be some things to draw people in at a distance. There'll be the waves crashing. And then there'll be seafood, like a fancy seafood restaurant. And I know, like, other seafood options. And probably some non-seafood options. And then, again, a lot of history, which we want to do in ways that are respectful to everybody and that celebrates it. And I'm kind of realizing that this tour, we're over what time I was supposed to have you delivered back. So I'm going to show you one more area of the park, and then maybe you could return for another tour. Because there's one more area of the park we could visit, which is, now this is interesting, so be ready, but we're going to go through these, like, these mountains that separate this human-based area into an area that, again, there's not much construction going on, but that's meant to celebrate, and where we will work with actual human Southern World companies to celebrate pop culture Santa. So Santa and pop culture. And so this will be the because we said, again, we have to say one of the things was give people what they like expect, but give it to them in an unexpected way. And we said, well, we can't ignore. So there are other lands, like, more influenced by Santa and pop culture. But we said, well, what about this popular version of Santa or this popular version? Is there a way? Or so we're still working on those deals with intellectual property, they call it. But then there will also be things you would just expect at the North Pole. So this would be more of your areas where, like, candy canes. One of the things people were thinking about is, like, Santa getting ready to work with, like, kids telling Santa what Santa wants for Christmas and those kind of things. Not so this would be full suspension of disbelief and reality, while, like, and not our reality. So another thing that we're struggling with as North Poleans, because some people say, but this isn't what we have. This isn't our world. So, and again, which, like, a lot of fans of Hollywood. So should we have a red carpet in a movie theater? And then what movies would it be? A movie theater like the ones in the theme park where there's all movies you could just go and stand around and look at? Would it be some sort of 3D movie or highlighted movie? Or would it be a ride, like another attraction, like a dark ride or some other type of attraction? I mean, I think the biggest thing is going to be the food is going to be very popular. So this would be, like, the place to get stuff that you would already expect. And this would be the only place you would get to interact with Santa Claus. Now, I have to tell you that it wouldn't be, like, I mean, not to spoil it, wouldn't be the real Santa Claus. So we're trying to figure out an audio, like an animatronic or robotic Santa, or you're looking in on Santa getting ready, or a video chat. So it's like, can we do some sort of attraction like that? Or, I mean, I think another version of things we're working on is like something based on but the intellectual property holders don't necessarily want to do this, is, oh, what was true and what was incorrect about that film? So, I don't know. And then having maybe a show. And I guess the main intention of this land is to celebrate everyone's assumptions about the North Pole. because they're not here to be, you know, they're not here to be lectured or said, well, those are all wrong. All your assumptions are incorrect. And that's a way to do it where we have some context where we say, well, okay, we're through this intellectual property, these films or these specials. But I guess it's difficult because people, we have a lived reality up here, right? And so not everybody's in a hurry to say that's none of that's even accurate. We see, don't you like it anyway, even though it's not accurate? That was pretty entertaining. And some people say, no, I wasn't entertained at all. So I guess the intention was to set out to create a land specifically to deal with those objections. Say, okay, well, that's what the purpose of this land is, not to be realistic. I mean, none of the North Pole Park is, you know. So it's just, I guess it's one thing or the other. We're all doing our best to enjoy it. And I really appreciate you coming on this tour, and I hope you'll join me for the rest of the park. I know you've fallen asleep. I didn't even notice that. So that's good that you're resting, and then you could just rest. I've stopped the train, but I've got the train still having a motion, so you feel like you're on the train. And then I'll take you on the rest of the tour after you've rested, because you had that cocoa and that nog. And I'm sure you have visions. Maybe there's a part of the land with sugar plums coming up. I don't know. I don't remember. But I'm glad you're here with me. I appreciate it. And I'll see you soon. All right. I want to thank everybody who became a patron recently. Jesse, Prashana, and Darpan. Thanks. Good night. Kelly, Adelaide, and Kaylee. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Dean, Daniel, and Mateo. Thanks, and good night. Hannah, Holly, and Danny. Thanks, and good night. Marianne, Jordan, and Tasha. Thanks, and good night. Martha, Tom, and Barbara. Thanks, and good night. Emily, Ivan, and Camilla. Thanks, and good night. Tracy, Amanda, and James. Thanks, and good night. Vera, Martha, and Emily. Thanks, and good night. Elise, Yoshi, and Alan. Thanks, and good night. Evelina, Pauline, and Eric. Thanks, and good night. Kelly, Andy, and Jenna. Thanks, and good night. Maureen, Derek, and Jesse. Thanks, and good night. Brett, Jonathan, and Sierra. Thanks, and good night. Lauren, Arne, and Eve. Thanks, and good night. And Valerie and James, thanks, and good night for the support. Sleeping Me exists as a free podcast. Get people to support the show directly on Patreon or our sponsors, and we grow this podcast by people spreading the word. So I couldn't do it without all of you, and I'll tell you more about our referral program coming up here. Thanks.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine has a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.